Omer Rami Bar Chama. Ruvain Shemachar Sada, the Shimon Ba'achrayut. Now, here's a case. Ruvain sells a field and he gives him property insurance, which is a standard sale. And then what happened is that Shimon was unable to come up with the cash. So they wrote out a mortgage, basically. And it's a kafalav b'milva. So now they wrote the whole thing up as a loan. And now he is responsible to pay the money for the field as a loan instead of as a straightforward payment for a field that was purchased. Now, what happened is that Reuven died before Shimon ever paid up the loan. And comes along a Baal Chov, and he wants to take this field away from Shimon. So Shimon says to himself, look, this is ridiculous. Why should I let him take the field, and then I should go and sue Reuven's estate for the fact that they had promised me that that's not going to happen? People are saying the daf link is missing? What does that mean? How could the daf link be missing? Can somebody repost it, please? Everybody's writing this in. I have no idea. All right, someone reposted. Alon reposted. I have no idea what happened. Okay. Anyway, thanks for reposting there, Alon. I hope that does it. That's just a repost for people on the phone, though, right? It's not the full link, is it? Should we post the full link?
I just have to copy and paste that into the Zoom, and then I click on it. It's a meeting. It's a meeting code.
Oh, it is.
I don't know where the link is.
Maybe
to copy and paste it. Like,
yeah. Maybe Moshe can handle it. I don't understand what's going on. Okay, so let's talk about the case again here after this interruption. So we've got a very simple situation. Reuven sells a field to Shimon. Shimon can't pay. Reuven therefore says, okay, let's take that money. I'll turn it into a loan. We'll write out a regular loan document and you will pay up the loan. Okay. Shimon doesn't get a chance to pay up the loan and Reuven suddenly dies. Now, meanwhile, the other people that Reuven owes money to, they come around and they go to Shimon and they say, listen, we're very sorry to hear about the death of the guy who sold you this field, but I'm afraid we're going to have to come and take this field away from you to cover the money that he owes us. So kiss it goodbye. So Shimon says, look, this is crazy. I like the field. They're going to take the field. And then what's going to happen? So then I'm going to pay the Yitomim, and then I'm going to sell. I'm going to what? I'm going to go to court. I'm going to sue them for the money that I have to pay them. That's crazy. The simplest thing to do is for me to take the money that I owed their father and hand it directly to this guy. And that way I get to keep the field. I'll say, oh, okay, I'll pay up the debt that Reuven owed you. Leave my field alone. And then when the kids come and they say, where's the money you owed our father? I'll say, what do you mean? I use that money to pay up your father's debts. Don't come to me for that money. That's what he figured. So that's exactly what he did. He's in big trouble. Because, says Rami Bar Chama, the children of Reuven can say, Dinu hu damer le b'nei Reuven, our father died without leaving us any property. Now, all of these liens to pay up his debts are only due on property, correct? So you had no business paying up our money to him. What does that have to do with us? Anan metatle shovak avuch gaban. Our father left us only metatle. And that metatle is the money that you were supposed to pay us, right? Metatle the yatmi labal chov lo mishtabde. And of course, the halacha is that all of these liens are only due on real estate. They're not due on metatalim. So we did not have to pay you. We did not have to pay that guy for our father's loans. And the money that you had that was due our father did not have any lien on it. So you had no business using our money to pay for a piece of property not a piece of property, but for a loan that our father owed. And therefore, you wanted to volunteer paying him up? That's very nice of you. But the bottom line is, you owe, here's the shtar, you owe us this money for the property that you bought from our father. That's the only inheritance we have, you know? So it's true. They can actually say that. Nonetheless, says Rava, yes, but there's a way out of this for Shimon. If Shimon has any brains, he's got a simple solution. All he needs to do is he pays Reuven's children the land. Say, okay, I owe you this amount of money. Here's a piece of land that's worth that amount of money. Then he goes to court and he says, you know, I had to pay in order to keep this land, the full value of the land. And I was given property insurance by the deceased, Reuven. So I'm suing his estate, which now includes this land because I just paid it up. So I'm suing his estate for the property insurance. Then he goes and takes the land back as his insurance. Because what are you going to say? Yeah, but this land only came into the estate afterwards, right? That doesn't matter because Reb Nachman Paskin, Reb Nachman, the Omer of Nachman, Omer Rabba Baravua, if Yitomim are able to collect land because of money that was owed their father, then that land is considered to be part of the estate. And therefore, a Baal Chov Choser of the Govel Tamihen. So the person that is owed money by the estate can now go and collect it from the estate. And that's exactly what's happening here. So this is another beautiful case of where the same individual becomes both the payer and the collector, as we've seen. And therefore, he's got a simple solution. Don't pay them cash. That would be a disaster. Pay them back with the land and then go recollect the land. That's what you should do. Oh, my Rabbi. Okay, now we're talking, now that we're all here, I'm sorry that you had trouble with the link. Hopefully we'll fix this. But here's the issue, gentlemen. What we are doing is some very subtle tap dancing as we get to the end of the Masechet, and we need to establish the various extremely subtle ways that we allow for collection of a ketuvah and take into consideration the shaktu, which of course includes chen, which is the balance, as you noted, the difference between Rashi and Tosafot, the chen that is necessary for women, be'inei hanashim, the chen of the women to feel that they're safe in marriage, so that it's basically underlying, in this case, not only the shaktu on Benos Yisrael to protect them, but in a deeper way, a shaktu on the sanctity of marriage and making certain that the institution of marriage actually survives and serves both male and female. And you see what happens in Western society when that becomes completely devastated because of the not really having functional prenuptial agreements. And therefore, it's simply not worth getting involved in a marriage that may involve you in 20 years of court cases and so on. Who wants to get involved in that? And because of that, this serious, it's a great social experiment to see what happens to a society in which marriage is not supported by the very delicate balance of the inyonim of the ketuvah. It's absolutely a disaster. And what results, forget about Atili and Suye, that they're going to fight. That's for darn sure they're going to fight. But the end result is that there's not going to be any concept of marriage any longer. And that's basically where we're heading in the West. And these last inyonim show us the careful interplay between the inyon of chen that's involved in the ketuvah versus the inyonim of collection of any standard loan, which is also, remember, a very important, complex interplay of forces in which Chazal needed to create a market that was sufficiently secure for people to feel that they're able to collect in cases where somebody pulled all kinds of hanky-panky and got rid of property that had been owed and that had a lien against it, and how to balance that concept, which is, of course, called the Mipnei Tikkun Olam. That's a general social requirement to provide, believe it or not, the good old Jewish idea, investment capital. We need to have movement of money. We need for money to be available. And if people are going to be doubtful about their ability to collect that money, we are going to destroy free markets. And that is the worst possible thing, and it's going to hurt everybody. So the balance between collection of ketuvahs, particularly, and what happens when the ketuvah itself becomes a balat chov. And how does that relate to the protection of the ketuvah that is offered to a father that has invested in a marriage and doesn't want this bum of a husband and his children, not from his daughter, to make off with his money, and all those types of amazingly subtle psychological considerations that are built into the nature of the shoktu and the chain of marriage? How do they interrelate with the overall structure of tikkun ha'olam, which Chazal were koveya for collections? Now, these are all what is confusing us here at the end, and the truth is they are so subtle that every one of these cases involves tremendous discussion bein haposkim in trying to understand the consistency of the logical positions behind them and what are the factors that are being taken into consideration. And it's because of that that I mentioned to you that Ketuvot is called the Shas Katan, in the amazing reality that in dealing with these issues, we are including Shas. That's basically what people understood, that all of the issues of Bava Metzia and the questions of Nedarim and the elements of the interrelationships of the subtleties of general collections of Nezikin and their relationship to Nashim is so complex that, remember, the way that the entire Seder HaMishnah is constructed based on the pasuk of Ahaya Emunat Itecha Chosen Yeshuas Chokmas Vadas, to remember that Chosen is Nashim and Yeshuas is Nezikin. And the way that the pasuk puts it together is Chosen Yeshua, meaning that those two things are interlinked. Because if you consider the development of the world that's based on that pasuk, the first step after you get out the concept of one's personal identity and creation, which is called emunais, which is zroyim, and then you have the zmanim, in which things change, you need to respond. That's all very primal. Before you can even think about getting married, you need an identity, and so on and so forth. So that develops in terms of the first step, emunat itecha. And then you have chosen yeshuot. Chosen is the sense of heirs, as we spoke about. It means, as Rashi says, chosen is inheritance. And the idea of marriage, of course, is to put yourself into that flow that ultimately brings directly this issue of there's a future, and that takes you into the financial elements of that future. But the next step after that is Yeshuot, which is the equivalent construct beyond the private interrelationship of one person to another, into the development of society. And obviously those things are deeply, deeply interrelated. That's why they come across in the pasuk as a grouping, Chosen Yeshuot. Therefore, all of the difficulty in Yonim that turn up in creating a society that's sustainable have their real primal roots in creating relationships that are sustainable, quite clearly. And that's why the end of our Masechet is so deeply involved in the transition to Yeshuot. Now that we're looking at directly the interrelationship between the individual responsibilities of collection that have to do with the chain of ketuvah versus the more complex issues that might come up in all types of business doings. And as a matter of fact, for the first time, we're going to actually use the elements of ketuvah and the chiyuvim of various ketuvot as a model for what happens in business investments, which clearly points to the idea that Rebbe has in mind over here in these subtle kind of transitions. And that's why these dapim, they seem to be built of all types of delicate minutiae, which is true, but those penetrate to the very underpinnings of society and marriage itself. And therefore, these dapim are difficult dapim, and they involve many, many different shitas. They're not completely suited for Daf Yomi, I must tell you, to be able to get a real in-depth look, but we can definitely get that amazing flow, which is so important in terms of the nature of Daf Yomi, to have a perspective of Torah and the concerns of Torah and the incredible responsibility and reality of the nature of Mishpatim and so on. It's an absolutely poetic relationship. As always say, it's a profoundly poetic relationship in which, even if not all the details are clear to you, but certainly the poetry is. And every time we read poetry, The details are never clear. Right? That's the whole point of poetry. So all types of interpretations and all types of rishonim and the way that they, each one of them has a completely different look at some of these things. Sometimes it's astonishing. It's from one extreme to another, taking completely different approaches and seeing how, again, ingeniously, that's the most amazing thing about Mishnah, remember, is the fact that it supports multiplicity of approaches. And every one of them sounds like, yeah, that must be what we're talking about. And then you suddenly discover, oh my God, there's a totally opposite way of looking at it, and it fits every word. How do you do that? So this is the nature of Torah Sheba'al Peh. And of course, the more primal you get into the Torah Sheba'al Peh, the broader are the options and the possibilities that are insanely provided for by the same Mishnah. And that's really, I mean, that's in a sense, the ultimate poetry is the multi-leveled interrelationships. And now we certainly appreciate Zoom's activity of putting together two beautiful boosts, L'chaim, all at one time, L'chaim, L'chaim Tevim El Shalom. We've got Doc being a little standoff. I think he's got problems with Bayer on this, on the issues of Zoom, but we don't want to ask his opinion because it would be terrible if he tells us this is not good. All right, so we're back to our cases over here. So let's take the next case. In this case, Reuven sells with one contract, in one fell swoop, he sells all of his real estate to Mr. Shimon, okay? Now, Mr. Shimon goes ahead. These people are not related, remember. Mr. Shimon goes ahead and he sells one of these fields to Levi. So before we get into the issue over here, let us remember, we hope that Gavi was able to catch up on the Gavi notes from yesterday after his drive. It would have meant a chazor, I'm afraid. Didn't quite have the option of writing things down. But today, adding to Gavi's burden, is a number of important yesodos, and that is that all of this is based on an idea, which is also a social idea in the way that Chazal were koveya, the nature of liens. So we know that you are never able to collect on a lien unless there are no free properties at all. There's no way that you can use a lien. And this is called Ein Nifraim Minechasim Mishu'abadim B'makom Sheyesh B'nei Chorin. There's no way to utilize a lien against the property if there are free and unencumbered properties available. So that's one important yesod. Another important yesod that we're going to be talking about now that this is all based on is that different types of properties, that is to say different levels of property, are assigned for different types of collections. And again, this is because of the delicate balance of availability of property to collect from and translate into cash, because we can't let you just collect and then have to suffer for a year till you get a buyer in order to get your money out of. And we list these properties in order of the ease with which they're translatable into cash. That's exactly the point. So we have the edit. That's your highest quality, which means the most rapid translatable property. And it's because of that in the Zikin, which is due from Edit, we accept Shoveh Kesef. That's exactly the point, because what the Torah is saying when it says Metav, anything that is Metaltalin, all you need to do is get on the internet and you have a buyer. That's the point, because you can transport it anywhere. So metaltalin is always easy to sell because there are always commodity markets that are easily available. We think that that's only in our times because of a literal internet. It was always true. There are buyers and standing offers for all types of commodities. Doesn't matter what they are. And because of that, it's translatable into cash. But real estate, we still haven't figured out even how to get together on the Zoom screen, for heaven's sake. So it's even more difficult to transfer a field. If Zoom hasn't come up with any answer for us, you can imagine how difficult it is to move a field. So because of that, you've got to be very machbid on the translatability, because, I mean, look, I can't move it somewhere else. And if there's no local buyers, I'm in trouble, right? So we have the edit, and we have the benonit, and we have the ziburit. Now, depending on how much protection we need to provide. And on the other hand, how much openness to the movement of cash we need to provide. We have different systems of repayment. So as we mentioned earlier in the Masechet, when it comes to the Teres Chiev of Meitav, that's Nezikin. If you suffer damages, you do not have to suffer anymore. You basically need to be able to get your cash out, to pay for your damages right away. And not the way that you sit in court for 3 years until finally they decide to award you the money. And then you have to go to court another 50 times to get the money. That's not how it works in the Torah. So therefore, you collect from Edid, and that's a given. Now, how about somebody who's got a loan? Now, there too, we need to figure what will provide sufficient protection from people, for people to be able to risk their cash in a venture. And there, Chazal were koveya that the standard middle property is sufficient to ensure that. And therefore, they allow a Baal Chov to go after, obviously, if you only have one thing, you go after whatever that one thing is that your Shibud is on. But in the event that Beinonit is available, and this is a big machlokas, is that determined by the overall state of property or by the state of the properties that are available to you from that individual that we'll be talking about, Bezrat Hashem, for Zeicha, in Nezikin. But whatever defines that Beinonit, the Baal Chov gets from the Beinonit. Now, in the case of a woman, women are not really planning on getting divorced as soon as they get married. And therefore, the sense of security is a sort of vague feeling that I'm going to be able to be repaid. They don't have to have rapid access to cash and cash deposit boxes and so on and so forth in order to ensure the viability of marriage. And because of that, property, and remember originally it was only property that backed the ketuvah until the takana of the Gaonim, property is even the lowest quality property is sufficient to ensure the chain of the sustainability of a marriage. So we need to take those two points into consideration in the following discussion. And that is, again, and what happens in a case where there is a cascade of sales. And that's what happened over here. What happened was, is that one person, Reuven, we've given him his name in the Gemara, he sold every piece of property that he had to Shimon. Now that means that he's basically out of the picture, because there are no longer any nechasim that are free. All of the nechasim that he had are now in somebody else's rishus, in Shimon's rishus. So all the collectors who are going to be coming to collect from Reuven now look to Shimon. And he bought everything, so there's no difference between the best property, the middle property. There's nothing in Reuven's house at all. Then Shimon goes and sells one field to Levi. Now, one of the people to whom Reuven owes money, got to figure out how to use this quiet thing that Moshe set up for me. Let's see if it works. So what happens is that he wants to collect the field. Who can he go to? Can he go to Levi? Now, this is an interesting situation, because in one sense, Shimon now has taken the place of Reuven. And Levi, in buying one of those fields, has taken the place of a standard buyer who buys one field, leaving behind the chasim that are free and clear, right? So now what happens? Can he choose and say, well, I like a field that was sold to Levi, I want that field. And since both of you are buyers, and since I have a lien on all of the fields, I'll choose what field I want, and I'm going to go directly to Levi. So now it seems that Ratzami Zegovet, Tainez Rabba, Ratzami Zegovet, since both Shimon and Levi are buyers, so then he has a lien against everything and he can choose whatever he wishes. However, not in every case, because remember, we have that other issue. What type of property is due to someone who holds a debt against someone else? Since the original takana was that he should be able to collect beinonit, middle type property. So this is only where the field that Levi bought was the beinonit field. So therefore, the guy says, look, Mr. Levy, you bought the very field that was meant to be paid to me because my first rights as a lender, which I never got paid back, was against this field. Don't worry, you're so stupid. You took the very field that I had my eyes on. Why should I lose out on that field? But suppose Levy bought Edith, which is the best level property, or he bought Zibori. Then Levy can say to him, listen here. The reason that I left the Beinonit was because of you, sir. I wanted to make sure that any debts that were due by the original owner, Mr. Reuven, would still be available to be paid back from the original buyer, Mr. Shimon, and that therefore Mr. Levy, that is me, is going to be kept out of all these ridiculous court cases. So please go and collect the field that was originally meant for you and get the heck out of my life. Now, in that case, he can say that. Look, that's why I took the best lawyers, the best assessors, to make sure that the fields that I bought were not part of what you were going to take originally from Reuven and Zvini Ardelokhazilach. I bought all of the stuff that you weren't allowed to go after originally when you were going to be going after Reuven. And therefore, I don't want you to come to me. Now, obviously, technically speaking, this doesn't make any sense. Because again, technically speaking, if a lien is a lien, and I am not the original borrower, Shimon's not the original borrower, so Shimon and Levy are in exactly the same situation legally. They own a field against which there was a lien. Why can't he go after whoever he wishes? The truth is that on a purely legal level, if this were a principle, you'd be absolutely right. But it's not a principle. It's an artificial construct for the preservation of business norms. That's the whole point. Even the concept of not being able to collect from a field when there are unencumbered fields, even that is part of that construct. Because if anybody who buys a field is going to be open to a court case by someone who had borrowed, who had lent money to the person he bought the field from 20 years ago, there's no way to protect yourself. Now, what you want to do when you buy a field is you do a property search and you say, okay, this guy has got another five pieces of property that are available. No writing messages during Afyomi. So he says, I know that this guy's got another five unencumbered properties that are worth millions. I mean, really, who's going to come after me for a crummy $100,000 house that I bought off of him, right? Well, it's only right if we make a takana that no one could come after you in the event that you left unencumbered properties behind. That's it. That's the reason that you cannot use a lien in the event that there are unencumbered properties. It's not like this fundamental primal issue. It's a takana to make certain that there's free movement in the real estate market. And that is what we did to ensure that. Now, translating that into this case, what we need to say is, you know what? There is a subset of these concerns. Because in a case like this, where someone steps into someone's shoes, so to speak, by buying all of his property in one fell swoop, then he's got to be able to do business with people that are going to be buying his fields, right? So let's say he owns 100 pieces of property that he bought off of Reuven all at one time. Nobody is going to buy any of that property from him if they're in the same situation as a guy who's coming to buy and has no way to ensure that there's property left behind in order to protect him, correct? So even though theoretically speaking, but listen, both Shimon and Levy are buyers, in this particular case, we have to see Shimon versus Levy as Shimon being the primary person, as if he was the one that borrowed the money, and Levy being a buyer who needs to be protected, because otherwise there's no way to do business with Shimon, you see? So we're extending the idea as a concept, a shuk protection concept, to protect Levy. But we're only going to protect Levy if Levy takes into consideration the equivalent of encumbered or unencumbered in this subset. And the equivalent of encumbered or unencumbered is to make the distinction between the type of field that was meant to be collected by the Balchov of Reuven originally versus the type of property that wasn't. So this explains the strange mixture of, on the one hand, we're allowing a guy to go after a lien to a secondary buyer versus a sudden in all of us. I mean, we never take that into consideration in other cases. If the unencumbered field was Edith and the encumbered field was the Benonit, you don't have a right to go after the buyer of the Benonit just because you say, well, that was what was supposed to be given me. Absolutely not. But in this case, since we aren't really talking about original borrowers and buyers, we have a subset in which the equivalent of protection, don't be stupid, Levy, to go out and buy the very field that was meant to be paid to this guy, because then we view that in this strange subset as the equivalent of encumbered versus unencumbered. You see? I hope so. Okay. It's a little bit complicated, but the idea is a clear and brilliant idea, right? It's absolutely lovely. So therefore, if Levy bought the Lo Amrei Lezavna Beinoni, in the case where Levy didn't protect himself, so to speak, with this new level of protection, and he went right ahead and he bought the field thinking to himself, well, what's the difference? I'll buy whatever I want. I'm the buyer and Shimon is the primary. It's not true. Shimon is not the primary. Shimon's a buyer and you're a secondary buyer. So you were pretty stupid. Therefore, we're going to allow him to collect his bait on his field from you. But in the event that Levy was careful and he only bought the field that was Idit or Ziburit, he can say, listen, it's obvious that I'm leaving you fully unencumbered. Fully unencumbered in the sense, in this subset, in the sense of the Beinonit still being there, ready for you to collect. We don't have that much time, so I don't want to repeat it, but you'll have the recording to be able to go over it. I'm really sorry, but remember, we have to do another daf still. So that's precisely what we would do. If he was Shavak Beinonit to Kavata, so then Levy can say to him, even in a case where Levy had gone ahead and had bought Beinonit, but he was careful to leave the same level of land, more such fields in the hands of Shimon. So he can still say, listen, Mr. Creditor of Reuven, there's the piece of land. You want this piece of land. It's exactly the same level of land. You can't have a specific desire for a piece because I left you behind the so-called unencumbered similar piece of land for Shimon. Go to Shimon and get out of my life. Again, this is not fully the legal principle, but it is the correct protection of the marketplace principle. And that's all part of Takanat Olam or Takanat Hashuk. Brilliant. Okay, so now, how about a case like this, says a buyer. Reuven sells a field to Shimon. He gives him a property insurance with his achrayut. And the balchov of Reuven comes, and he takes away that field. Okay, now, can Reuven say, hey, wait a minute here. Do not allow that guy to take the field from you in court. I have other claims against him. I can make him swear that I didn't pay him back because I paid him back before. Whatever. He may have a whole list of things. And he says to Shimon, what do you mean you don't want to go to court? What do you mean you're not interested in long, drawn out cases? That's because you think I'm going to pay you back. In the end, it's going to come on my head. Well, listen here, mister. You either let me come into that courtroom with my lawyers or with my tviot, or I'm not going to pay you. So the fact is, says Abaya, he has every right to go to court. Dinohu, the Azir Reuven Mafatzile, he can say this because he can have all types of claims that Shimon knows nothing about and that Shimon wouldn't be able to use. Well, I got to wait until this guy goes, collects the field from Shimon. Shimon sues me. Then I go back and sue them. No, that's crazy. And the fact is, it is crazy. We let people go to court if ultimately the case is going to be against them. And the guy cannot say to Reuven, hey, who are you? I don't know who you are. You're not my Baldin. I don't have to even answer your tviot. Get out of this courtroom. He can't say that because Reuven can say to him, oh, right. So you go ahead, you take this field from Shimon to whom I sold it, and then I have to go back to court and try to get this, because I have to pay Shimon back because he's going to sue me, and then I have to go and sue you. I mean, that's brilliant. This is not the way din works in the Torah. It may be fun for the lawyers in the West, but it is not the correct mishpat. And therefore, he says to him, excuse me, anything the mafakta mine, anything that you're going to take away from Shimon is going to come back to me. I'm going to be back here in this courtroom. And therefore, there's no need to go back and forth like a bunch of fools. Let's work this out right now. You owe me money from another deal that we made. Did you pay that money? Swear to me that I didn't pay you, et cetera, et cetera. And you can't say that. And as a matter of fact, some say it doesn't even have to be with Achrayut. Suppose he sold him the field without guaranteeing it. So this guy takes Shimon and says, I'm collecting that field. Reuven can still come and say, I want to deal with him. And he can. And the man cannot tell him, who are you? Who the heck are you? Because the Omar le, lo nechli de tavilo de Shimon tar omet alai. Look, it's true that legally speaking, Shimon's not going to be able to sue me. But what do you think I'm going to look like? I sold him a field that the jerk like you was able to come to court and take away because I was unable to argue against you in the courtroom because you claimed that I'm not a partner to this din. I may not be a partner in terms of being able to be sued, but I'm certainly a moral partner, and I have a right to protect the integrity of my reputation that I do not sell fields that people can collect. And I'm going to go to court in order to prove that you had no right to collect this field from Shimon. And it doesn't matter whether it's my business financially. It's my business in terms of my brand name. And that's enough. And therefore, who cares whether it was a property guarantee? He has a right to say, I'm not interested for Shimon to have a moral claim against me either. And how's he ever going to be able to get it back? I didn't guarantee it, so I'll never be able to sue you. Because you'll say, what's your business? None of your darn business. So therefore, I want to go to court right now on behalf of Shimon, because it's really for me. Omer Abaye. Reuven shemachar sadeh leShimon shelo ba'achrayut. How about if all of this has happened so often? It just happened with Tweeter, right? This is exactly what's going on. So what happens? So someone makes an offer for Tweeter. Now, all of a sudden, there's all kinds of issues that come up, right? Oh, heck, says he, if I had realized that there were all going to be all of these claims and all of these whistleblowers and all, I never would have gotten involved in this deal. So therefore, I am taking my deal back. Okay. Now, there is a standing tvi'a against people who take deals back, which we'll learn about in the Zikin, in which there's all types of curses and court procedures that give curses and so on for a guy who committed himself to a deal, and then he blows the deal and so on. Can you blow a deal in having agreed to buy a piece of property, and now all of a sudden there are people that have claims against the property, and they say, this guy sold you the Brooklyn Bridge, he didn't even own this property. So you say, you know what, I'm not going to go through it. What is ridiculous? I'm going to get involved now in court cases that are going to prove that this is yours. And we're going to wait 3 years until we work that out. The heck with it. I'm out of here. So if Reuven sells a property, if he would have sold it with property guarantees, okay. But what, I got to buy something that I'm not sure about? What is this? A pig in a poke in English? Or a sakit besak in Hebrew, or a bag mole kitchen in the Lashon of the Gemara, which is a giant Amazon box, which looks good, but which may be filled with a bunch of plastic blown up with air, little pieces with nothing in it. You don't know what you're buying, do you? Well, I therefore don't want to be part of this. Yatsu alav, what happened was asikin. Asikin means, oy, boy, I got so much to deal with. I don't even know who owns it. Before he went ahead and he made a chazaka on the land, he has a right to say, I'm out of the deal. Yochol achzor bo, and we don't have any tainas on him for, even though normally we would, just because you made a commitment, but in this case, we don't. But once you actually made a kinyan, mishi achzik ba, eno yochol achzor bo, because Reuven says to him, listen, you agreed to buy a big Amazon box, okay? You wanted to pay for it as if there was silver inside. Thank you very much. Now, you had no idea what was in there. It turns out to be full of air, not air pods, but air bags. All right, so chayta de kitri, you agreed to take a bag full of little nuts. which you thought were silver. Well, Savarta, you took your own chances. You got what you bought. The Kabilat. And what is considered to be the moment of him having a chazaka? Any type of chazaka. It's a very simple chazaka. A chazaka is doing some element that will improve the property as a sign of your balut. So the simplest things of all are, guess what? Walking around the edges of the property to stomp down the meitzar and to make it a hardened, raised surface so that it points to this being a specific field. That's good enough. All he needs to do, dayish hamitzar. Now, some say that even if there was a guarantee and he provided him insurance for the sale, he can still say that, hey, you have no right, okay? That in this case, Reuven says to Shimon that I want you to show me the tirfa. Because Shimon is coming and he's saying, listen, you gave me a guarantee. You ain't keeping your guarantee. I mean, surely I don't have to go ahead, make a chazak on this field and then spend years in court with you. Get out of here. The guarantee certainly what makes me able to walk out, right? No, because Reuven can say to him, listen, do you know how many times there are these ridiculous fraudulent claims that are just nonsense suits in order to mess people up? All the time. So what, just because somebody walked into court and scared you and said, now this is the Brooklyn Bridge, what are you crazy? You're giving money for the Brooklyn Bridge. The guy sold you something you didn't even own. This happens all the time. They're just, I forgot what the legal term is for claims where it's just there to drive you nuts. What do you call those? They're not frivolous, is it?
They are called frivolous. Yeah, they are called frivolous.
They are called frivolous. Okay. So all the time you get these frivolous suits. So what? So therefore we're going to kill the market because anybody who doesn't want me to be able to sell my thing is going to bring a frivolous suit. Get out of here. I gave you a guarantee. Yes. The guarantee is that when you show me a court document that awarded him the field, which is the shtar tirfa that we were talking about, and has a claim against me, I'm happy to pay it. Do you have a shtar tirfa? No. So don't be a bum and walk out on a promised deal.